This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ooh, I like this one. Someone says Rob Brenton versus everyone that is washed. CDOT versus the Kiss Cam.
Yeah.
Somebody says Tigers play at Mizzou Arena. They took Paige off the name.
I know. 20 years ago.
I didn't know that. I Mizzou Arena, I should have known that. I know it's Norm Stewart Court.
Mm-hmm.
More handsome. Norm Stewart, Randy Johnson.
Norm.
Wow, that's tough. Austin versus The Rock in the WWE. Great rivalry. Started WrestleMania 14 last night.
14? Yeah. What year is that?
1998.
God.
The heavyweight championship.
Was the WWF still then?
It was.
Yep.
The heavyweight. You might remember this, actually. The championship match was between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels, and the guest referee was Mike Tyson.
Oh, that's right. I remember Tyson was on that. Yeah.
Yep. Big Mike Tyson. I mean, they had Don King, dude.
I met Don King a number of times. Once
jealous.
At the Super Bowl and had him on. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, this is Don King sitting here, man. Did we lose Don?
No.
No, he's still around,
you know,
right?
If we lost Don.
Yeah, it's probably true.
I will Google search Don King and realize that he's probably not with us
anymore. No, I think Don's still around.
I feel like you'd have to know.
Yeah, I think we would have known if Don King died, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
He is definitely alive at the age of 94.
Holy cow.
Born in 1931 on August 20th.
Oh, my God. It's the day before my father was born 12 years. No, my dad was born in 49. Don King was born in... He's 15 years older than my father. My God.
Yeah.
So Don King couldn't be my grandpa.
Damn, he's 6'2"? All right.
Don King is 6'2"?
That's what it says.
I don't remember him being that tall.
That's going to be part of the hair,
I was going to say when the hair's up.
Well, yeah. The hair is up, maybe. Yeah, that is true. But I remember having him on at the Super Bowl in San Diego when it was the Barrett Robbins Super Bowl where he got lost in Tijuana. It was the Raiders and Bucks. And I remember Don King coming in. He just walked around with American flags. Even I'm doing his thing. I'm like, this guy is all show, man. It was so good.
Have you seen
fun.
Have you seen Will Smith's rendition of Ali?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it good?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I thought it was good.
No, I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I think it's John Voight plays Howard Cosell.
Oh.
And they go into the rivalry of Cosell and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And like Howard Cosell's like, Muhammad, I wasn't going to bring this up. But the people say you're not the man you were 2 years ago.
I know who is.
And he goes, Howard, I wasn't going to bring this up neither, but you ain't the man you used to be 1 year ago. It's the best lie of the whole movie.
But that is fantastic. Like that rivalry, man.
Oh, it's huge.
You were watching, though, I would assume I wasn't alive, but part of the reason was, I mean, you wanted to see what Howard and you know, Muhammad were going to do with each other.
You want to know a funny story about Howard Cosell and my family?
Yeah.
My dad's father, George Likens, wrote a handwritten letter to Monday Night Football to please take Howard Cosell off the broadcast.
Oh, my God. That is fantastic.
So it's been going on for years.
Oh, my God. He's probably writing a letter from the grave about the Leawood City Hall being closed today, too.
He's rolling in his grave the way things are going in today's world.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so, yeah.
More rivalries. Sub-Zero versus Scorpion. Bink versus men with short arms.
That's great. I love that one. That's good. Yeah. Take the day.
Dusty versus the Breakfast of Champions at UCM Homecoming. Better believe it. Four consecutive years. One did get me in trouble. And then Dusty and Nick Short versus the coach guy who called Pat a gimmicky quarterback.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, that Jason
Brown. We all remember that day.
Yeah. What's he doing now?
podcast.
Yeah, podcast. That's right. So nothing.
Him and Whitlock are boys.
They are. That's right. I did see that. Yeah, Whitlock and Jason Brown are hanging out.
Shout out Breakfast of Champions. Shout out East Village.
Yeah, shout out. Okay. Cue the music as we get to the latest update for the Royals and their stadium. So now the East Village is being championed by Mayor L, who 2 years ago said the East Village wasn't good and said, we don't want to be in the East Village. Let's move this thing to the Crossroads District at the last hour. They said the East Village, I guess, wasn't, you know, sufficient enough to do it. MoDOT was going to have to maybe move a road or something like that. So the mayor, who did not want the East Village location and forced them to move to the Crossroads District, is now out here telling everybody, hey, the East Village looks good if the Royals are interested in the East Village. Yeah, L, we had this 2 years ago. That probably would have passed. And so we're back to square zero now with this thing. Kansas, they've got a deal done with the Royals, if they choose to accept it. North Kansas City, probably same thing. And now you've got council members downtown saying, we think they're going to take the Washington Square Park spot, which is the worst of all of the locations by far to build a baseball stadium this town. I've always liked the East Village location. I've been telling people since 2021 it was going to go in the East Village. Then Mayor L got involved, vote failed, and here we sit. And now we're going back to potentially the East Village on this thing? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a mess this whole thing has become for the Kansas City Royals. And there's some damage control going on yesterday. Well, everything you're hearing isn't true and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, is it? What is the truth? Because nobody's saying anything. Nobody's telling the public anything. And every elected official in every district is running out there going, yeah, I think we're going to get the Royals.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to stay at the Truman Sports Complex.
They may have to end up staying there.
It's all part of the plan.
The Save the K people are going to be real happy, right? I think they have a better chance of being in Nashville, Tennessee than they do at the K after 2030.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Stop that talk.
Well,
no, it's true.
I just don't want to hear that.
Yeah, like based on what you know, like just it'd be conjecture, obviously, Bob. Like, where are we at with that? Like, is Nashville Royals actually becoming a possibility?
Not at this moment, but I did talk to somebody in baseball. Said the Nashville group's ready. So they've got the money. They're ready to go.
So if they keep effing around and being disorganized over here, that becomes a larger possibility.
It could. Depending, I mean, when you got 25 owners, too, that are involved in ownership, you know, you got to get everybody kind of on the same page to do the right thing. And I think when these guys bought the team, I think the biggest thing that, you know, was presented to people in ownership to have the opportunity to build this real estate area. They're all, you know, money guys. They know how to develop money and real estate and all that kind of stuff. And I think the big, you know, you're not going to make money off a baseball team by owning it. You make money when you sell the baseball team, or you make money around the stadium. And I think a lot of these guys invested into the Kansas City Royals knowing that we were going to build a stadium with a village and a real estate development area that's going to give us return on our investment, and we're going to start making all this money and putting it back into the ball club and doing all these good things. And here we are 2 years later, and Kansas is going, we're done talking. We've got a deal. If you want it, you know what it is. North Kansas City, same way. Downtown saying, well, mayor saying East Village, councilman saying we think Washington Square Park. Is anybody organized in this thing, or are all these elected officials now just out here talking because the Royals don't know what's going on? Mm. And I tend to think it's probably because they don't know what the Royals are going to do, because every jurisdiction now is claiming they think they're going to get the baseball team.
If it goes to Washington Square Park, then you could have Boulevardia down there at the stadium.
Boulevardia's canceled.
Oh, it is? It's done?
They said it today. I just saw, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was literally like on the news earlier. So yeah, Boulevardia out.
Oh, probably because of the World Cup.
Probably so.
So it's just a 1 year thing.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That makes sense, because they always do it like in June and July, and they're like, Boulevardia, World Cup.
Yeah.
Love you, but
it's not going to happen this year. But see, the other thing about the Washington Square Park thing is that then you're going to go around the will of the voters. I mean, the voters told you no 2 years ago. And I do believe after talking to a lot of people, it was because of the Royals vote. They didn't want the stadium in their neighborhood. It wasn't much of about the Chiefs. I think maybe some people voted because the Chiefs thing was, but I think the majority of people voted no were in that downtown area that did not want that ballpark in their neighborhood. And then you're going to circumvent the will of the people and just plant it down there. Like, this whole thing, man, has just become.
You ever met billionaires?
I know. It really is just become an unbelievable mess that didn't have to be, because when I was in Topeka, they're like, yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I mean, everybody up there thought this thing was done with the Kansas City Royals. I talked to numerous people. They're like, yeah, let's talk after the Royals deal is done. I mean, like, this got that far where people of significance in Topeka, Kansas were coming up to me and saying, hey, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We wanted to do these separately. We wanted to have a blue day for the Royals and a red and yellow day for the Chiefs, and they each deserve their own separate day. What are we doing here?
Mm. I know I sound selfish, but I'm all in favor of Washington Square Park.
I know, but that's not what's best for the ball club.
That's why I said I sound selfish.
Yeah.
I think that location is cool. I think the backdrop of it, like the envision of me being in my 40s and watching Sunday Night Baseball, and it's the leading AL Central Royals, and there's, you know, Liberty Memorial in the background, there's the bridge, there's the Broadway, you know, is running that way, and you're just like, all right, this is, to me, that's, to me, that. But again, I know you can, I mean, it's selfish, but like, that's also still in Missouri.
So yeah, 816 degrees, great location next to Union Station and Liberty Memorial would be iconic. Demolition of other buildings at minimum.
Well, but that's the other thing. You have to acquire those other minimums. And I know John's been in meetings with the folks who run Crown Center and talking to them. I don't know if they're going to try to buy Crown Center or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, if you're going to have folks and invest in a team, you've got to give them that option to make that money with that real estate. And that's how you make money in Major League Baseball. Now with your TV deal gone too, you know, we saw that yesterday. Nobody has TV deals anymore in Major League Baseball because that FanDuel thing went, you know, belly up. So I guess you don't have to worry about the FanDuel app anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see the funny tweet from the Tigers?
Yes.
The tiger was the picture and it just says eliminated.
Eliminated.
And he thought he lost his job. Yeah. That's to me like, I was like, there we go. Yeah.
The tiger mascot's like, what? What did I do?
That's great.
But yeah, nine teams lost their TV contracts yesterday in Major League Baseball. So you've got to generate as much money in your market as you possibly can. Washington Square Park is beautiful. Doesn't give you the opportunity to generate the money you need to put the best successful baseball product on the field.
Somebody's really down bad from the 913. I think KC and the KC Metro and the state of Missouri will totally screw up this Royals Stadium issue, and the Royals will move to Nashville or Charlotte. We might as well get used to saying the Nashville Royals right now. You watch your tongue.
Worst case scenario, they can take the deal that they, you know, agreed to in principle with the state of Kansas. I mean, they've got options.
And then from the 816 says, don't worry. Mayor Lucas told Carrington he's very comfortable with the conversations that are ongoing. I don't know if this is the audio that I want.
Patrick Mahomes is a gimmick quarterback.
There it is. Yeah. Mayor Lucas said something. Yeah, because he was right on the stadium for the Chiefs, right?
Right.
He nailed that one.
I was hoping to find that rant. I figured that it would be saved, but yeah. No, I don't know. It's just, can it just be done?
Yes. I heard yesterday from somebody, it's going to be close. You've been saying that for a year. And that's part of the problem that people have with this. Is John Sherman has told people, oh, we'll have it at the end of last year. Then we're going to have it in June. Then it's going to be midsummer. Like, they've continued to just ignore these deadlines that they've been giving themselves. And then you have the end of the year deadline. The Chiefs are all buttoned up. They do their thing. And here we are now going into the 10th day of January tomorrow. And we still don't have resolve on this thing with the Royals.
Maybe this is it.
Joe Burrow was 3-0 versus Mahomes, by the way. That's why the fun whole Burrowhead thing was started up. I don't believe in all that either. But what I'm telling you is, until that happened, Burrow had dominated Mahomes head-to-head. Do we agree?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But in games that meant nothing.
Just say yeah.
You've been talking for about 3 minutes, so I'm going to say something now, Jason. So you keep talking about all of these Chiefs fans that came on your show. I listened to your podcast yesterday. It was about three people, and you always want to go back to the idea that, well, you don't know football because you didn't play.
You didn't want to show. You didn't show up. It's not my fault. I can't force you to come on my show, bro.
Jason, with all due respect, sir, you coached in community college for 5 years. You're not exactly Chuck Knoll, okay? So don't sit here and try and lord over us about how much you know about football.
20 years.
And what do you do now? Stop. And what do you do now?
20 years. Dude, did you bring me on your show to talk crap, or did you bring me on your show? You sound like a fanboy.
I've let you talk for 15
minutes. I got 28
minutes.
Guys in the NFL, homeboy. But I got 270 Division I. Yeah. I had 8 win the Super Bowl. What's your criteria? Send me your resume.
I just want to make
you
sure.
You talk on the radio. Yeah. You're a fanboy.
Yeah, but did you
You're a fanboy on the radio.
But you said you didn't call Patrick Mahomes a gimmicky quarterback. Let me play this for you real quick.
Patrick Mahomes.
I said he's in a gimmicky system that makes him a gimmicky quarterback.
No. You told me to listen to you all the way out, so I'm going to let you listen to me all the way. Listen to what you said here.
Patrick Mahomes is a gimmick quarterback.
What do I say to that?
Gimmick. Did you hear that?
Goodbye.
I mean, that
what
guy,
a fun day that was.
I mean, see, the funny
Shout
thing
out Nick Schroer.
Yeah, love you, Nick. The best part about that is that guy's like trying to talk trash on you guys. You were a failed JUCO coach, bro.
20 years, actually.
So you were so bad as a JUCO coach,
exactly.
Like nobody gave you an opportunity to even sniff like D2. And that's nothing against the JUCO ranks, but you were a JUCO coach for 20 years, sitting here calling Nick Schwert and Dusty a fanboy. What are you doing right now?
What a fun
Jason
day.
Brown.
I hung up on him fast. I hung up on Ned Yost. Which actually happened. Coming up on the other side, we talked to the voice
Ned
of the
Chief.
Ned
was not happy.
No, he was not. That's three times in my life I've been kind of... been.
Hey, I was talking and you hung up on me. Call me back.
Who is this guy? We'll get back to more rivalries in sports, but coming up, we get to our guy, Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. We got a three-week tease that Mitch has to pay off for us here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality.
Here's Mitch Holtis on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. Mitch Holtis brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Also brought to you by GEHA, Government Employee Health Association Incorporated. Mitch, how are you on this wonderful Friday? Good to hear from you. We have, you know, obviously we got to pay off your tease from 3 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, we got to figure this out. It feels weird, but first we got to play Mac mid-major, more, I guess, the M mid-major.
Mm.
Do you have Bob? Is Bob there?
Yep.
All right, mute him.
There's a good drop.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So mute Bob. You get 3 seconds. I'm going to give you a hint, Mac. You ready?
Ooh, I get a hint? Okay, okay.
Hint, you got 3 seconds.
All right.
Hawks, 3.
Hawks?
2.
I know it.
1.
Loyola Marymount. I have no idea.
Monmouth.
Dang it.
The Monmouth Hawks.
That's where my parents went to school.
Oh, he's cheating.
Wow. So you spent some time on campus of the Monmouth Hawks?
A little bit, yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit. Long Branch, New Jersey. Well, maybe I'll take Dusty there in April when we go see Bruce Springsteen in Asbury Park. Maybe I'll roll him through campus.
Mm.
Did your folks, then they met at Monmouth?
They did, yes. They did. My dad was a sophomore. My mother was a freshman.
And when were you born?
1977. 5 years after, 6 years after they got married.
Okay, I was going to say, Monmouth might be more special to you than you know.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Monmouth, I wouldn't be here, so, you know?
Right. So let's get your Monmouth hoodie on and play a little Mac Morey mid-major M's.
I love it. I love it. So we're here, right? We've reached the end of what was not a great year for everybody. So where are you at right now, Mitch?
Where am I at on Earth, or where am I at mentally?
Both, wherever, all of it, yeah.
On Earth, I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to get my GPS set, and it's not working. So I have no idea where I'm at on Earth. Mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, it's been a run. Once you back up and things stop, you're like, wow, what just happened? Especially the last 8 years, for sure. But it's also given me time to be reflective. You're in this pivot time where you've got to pivot to the to move on. And then what does that look like? And so it's caused me to be reflective, even getting into a couple research projects. So where I'm at is a little bit just fuzzy. Now, we'll tell you this. This is a myopic answer to, I guess, a myopic question. But for 44 years, I did college basketball, more than that, actually. So in the years when we were out early or didn't make it at all, you know, I'd be on my way to a basketball game right now somewhere and doing 3 games in a week or sometimes 4 in 3 or 4 different locale. And so it just became, you just turned into the next thing. Well, I gave that up a couple years ago just because I had to. There was more duties with the Chiefs more than ever. And then we were making these runs to Valentine's Day every year. So now I'm sitting here with no basketball, which is fine. I'm not trying to get to Chicago so I can get to Cincinnati to do games on back-to-back nights, but it's a little weird. And so, yeah, trying to figure it all out.
Mitch, when you look at this season, what's the one thing that you can take away that gives you belief that this is a one-and-done type of season for this franchise?
Yeah, I've done a lot of contemplating on that, and I hope it's more I hope it can be a one and done where you bounce back in at least into win the division and playoff contention. And I would say it's infrastructure that there's going to be changes. There already have been changes. There'll be more changes, but the infrastructure is strong. Brett Veach and his crew is a really good group. There's processes in place. You keep the machine cranking. You switch it. I mean, you switch some things, but overall the infrastructure is there. But this team was like the engine lights on in your car and you just keep driving and hoping it goes off. Like that never happens. And then finally your engine blows up and you're on the side of the road. That's kind of what happened here. But now it's time to take the vehicle into the shop and get it fixed. But you've got people that I believe in that can fix it. Mainly Andy Reid and Brett Veach.
How far away are they realistically? Because when you're 6-11, we've all talked about it. Everybody, you start peeling back the onion. You're like, oh my gosh, they got a lot of work to do. How far do you view them realistically away from getting this thing back?
I'm going to give you a wishy-washy answer because I kind of go in 10-minute increments of thinking, wow, this is going to take more than one off season to fix.
Right.
And then I'll look at some things. Numerically and thinking, I'm going to give you some here in a little bit, how the league changed and mm-hmm. then where I think you could immediately get half of those losses back without a ton of changes. So I don't know. Overall, I think three things have got to happen. You've got to obviously add to this roster, a draft and free agency. Free agency's more precarious now than ever. You rarely get home run free agents. You've got to get a 2022 draft class. You also have to, this is a less sexy answer, your 25 class, your 24 class, your 23 class, of what remains of those classes have all got to get better. You've got to coach them up. They've got to figure this out more than they have at any point of their career. That's a big part of this. Less sexy, but it's if you don't get that done, then you're going to continue to spin your wheels.
Mitch, I want to ask you about this because, obviously we've got time before the season starts and we've got a slate of playoff games, but time is quick, right? Like, so 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, like you've got, before we know it, we're going to be ready for the draft in Pittsburgh and seeing who the Chiefs take at the ninth pick. What do you do in the next 30, 60, 90 days moving forward?
Yeah, the 30 days is you've got to get who's in and who's out of the staff. We've already seen movement there. And then you've got to figure out who's in and who's out or who you're moving off and not even going to try to resign, and then trying to work out a strategy of the ones you want to resign, and then trying to get salary cap to a point where you can hit the so 30 days is basically staff and your personnel currently. Who do you want? Who are you saying, hey, goodbye, good luck at the next stop? Then the next 30 days is basically getting cap and strategy in session are in place to attack free agency. And then the next 30 days is really hone in on trying to crush a draft class. And you really got to try to get, because of where we're at right now and with the roster the way it is, and if Kelce moves on and all the dynamics that are in place, you've got to hit a home run in this draft. This has got to be a 2022 draft class. And harder to do in these day and age with the NIL stuff, because it's hard to sometimes really vet a guy mm-hmm. when they're at four different places in 4 years. So it's trickier, but again, I Brett Veach has done it before and he'll do it again. Let me tell you guys though, where I think the league flipped on everybody. Nobody talks about it because it's been so camouflaged. And we're in the era of the new era of Marty Ball. It just doesn't look like it. Can I go down this?
Yeah.
Time of possession with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And hear me out on this. This is a overall thesis. And I saw this during the season when we would play teams and I'm preparing for them and I'm going, wait a minute, this league is doing something overall that needs to be addressed. Time of possession. Number one is Buffalo at 33:09. Why? They're protecting a bad defense. Two, the Chargers, 32.34. Don't turn it over. Play to a defense. We'll take a shot now and then, but we're going to stay on the field. Three is Tampa Bay, the only of the top nine that did not make the playoffs in time of possession, and they were a possession away from getting there. Four, Houston, 31:49, average time of possession. Play to their defense, which is rock solid. Don't turn it over. Take a shot now and then. run the ball, stay on the field. Get to third and two so you can get to fourth and one, make the fourth down and stay on the field. Five, Jacksonville, 31-27, time of possession. Six, New England, 31-18, doing the same thing. These teams are all generally doing the same thing. Seven, Denver's really doing it. They're exhibit A of this, other than Buffalo, in the fact that it's all camouflaged. Three wide, one back. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm going to throw a six-yard hitch out of this, and it's basically a run. Or I'll throw a check down that looks like a check down, but all of a sudden a guy pops out of the screen to block, and you have a one-man screen where everybody's down the field, and I just fake everybody out. I'm really going to throw a check down all the time. So kind of versions of the West Coast, but playing to defenses, don't turn it over, field position. Seven, Chicago, 30 minutes and 19 seconds. Caleb Williams playing great. Well, they've minimized Caleb Williams' chance for disaster. Mm-hmm. Nine, San Francisco, 30 minutes and 42 seconds. All of these teams are in the playoffs, and some have great seeds, if not the one seed in both conferences. Rams are different than this, but everybody else is locked in on this way to play, which is I'll play to my defense, field position, I'll run it, but I'll do pass plays that run it. I'll take a shot, but I'm going to do real bubble screens, rocket screens. So that's where the league changed, and that's what's winning. Now, we all know with Marty Ball, because the margin is slight with this approach, that the playoffs are going to be crazy. I think the playoffs are wild, because when you play it this close to the vest, we also know that you are susceptible to any little thing, about a 64th of an inch of throwing a playoff game off, and anybody could beat anybody. Anybody can lose to anybody.
All right, let's talk about that time of possession, though. That also comes from the fact that you have to have that personnel in place to even do what they were doing. I don't know that they had that. Maybe Breshard Smith was that guy. Do they have the personnel to be able to do this right now?
Well, no. And but it may evolve into something like that. And some of this is a lot less shotgun RPO stuff. You don't want to take that completely away, because a lot of that is Patrick's strength. But you know, you may look at more under center, a two-back look. They ran a lot of 13-3 tight end personnel, but it's what you do out of that 13 personnel. And especially if Kelce moves on, because you got to somehow figure out average 80 catches, 900 yards, and about seven touchdowns. That's what you've got to somehow figure out to get to in the equation just to get back to where you were. So that's part of evaluating your own personnel now, first 30 days. Second 30 days, attacking who you can get, who's currently in the league, who would help you play that way. And then I would say defensively, it's a big, you know, not bigger than the offense, but I'm going to give you the other stats that I've gone through, which I think you get half your losses back in a single season if you can do one thing, because it became the biggest issue that nobody's talking about in last season. You want that one?
Yeah. What do you got?
In all 11 losses, I'm counting through these here, 18 times there were critical third down and mostly longs, third and 10, third and 6, third and 17, third and 15, third and 8, third and 13, third and 7, third and 10, third and 15, third and 10. There were conversions or touchdowns made at critical times. And it's not just in the fourth quarter in the 2 minute. It's when the game was on the line. And maybe I'll put this on social. This is where I've got tons of confidence in Spags. This is the mechanic who's going to fix the car. And sometimes you cannot fix this on the fly within a single season. But this is also evaluating personnel, scheme, technique, all of that. But there are five games easily that could have been turned. Let's just take Denver at Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 19-19 game. At 2 minutes and 2 seconds to go in the game, and a field goal will win it. It's at 2:05, I should say. Denver's got third and 15 at their own 21. They get 20 yards on a pass.
Yep.
So they end up winning the game in overtime. I can give you a bunch of others. Jacksonville, Chiefs are ahead, 28-24. Jacksonville's got the ball at their own 43 with a minute one left in the game, and they get the deep corner route for 33 yards. And it leads to the sequence at the end. But even at the end, it's third and 13. Chiefs are up. The Jaguars have to have a touchdown. It's 28-24, and that's when they get the DPI in the end zone. So that there's a whole bunch of stuff here. That's just a snippet of where you can fix it immediately or at least get half these games back. So that's why I'm going all the way around the board of like, wow, we got a lot of work to do. It may take more than one off season. Then I'm thinking, well, no, wait a minute. If you can counteract what the league is doing right now, because a big piece of that, you guys, of defending where the league is getting them off the field, especially on third and long. Because the strategies I'm talking about are not designed to be third and long. This is like the Eagles. Last year, this really started, and I think the Chiefs may even kind of started this. Because last year in time of possession, who was number one in the league?
Probably the Chiefs or the Eagles.
Philadelphia. Yeah. Philadelphia. Number two, Detroit. The Chiefs were sixth. Mm. But if you go to Kansas City's time of possession, in 2019, the Chiefs were 19th. In 23, they were 14th. In 22, they were 12th. And so the Chiefs don't necessarily play that way. That's fine because they can be more explosive. But defensively, you've got to get teams off the field, especially when you've got them at the metric or at the analytic where you should get them off the field, especially at the critical time.
You know, Mitch, you mentioned all of that, and Spags, the mechanic. Does Spags have the parts necessary to fix the car?
That's what I don't know. And that's where the 30-60-90 comes into play. But you've got to get a player like Jaden Hicks to be even better. Four of us, if Max jumping in, think Noah Williams can play.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Williams was really good down the stretch, right? So you've got a guy there that can play your style of corner, physical. I think he'll continue to work on his feet. And if his feet get better, you've got a guy that's a potential Pro Bowler. But now you bring in maybe some newer guys or maybe a rookie that can come in and help you, like the class of 22. What do you do with, like, free agents that you've got? With Trent McDuffie, he's working hard on his rehab. Where do you go with him? It would be great if you could somehow get him back in the slot in your nickel and turn him loose, which he is the best at in 22, 23, and 24. So all of that comes into play. Talk about pass rush. Yeah, you got to rush with four in this counteracting what's going on in the league right now. You send blitzes. A lot of these third and longs were blitzes that didn't get home. And now you're really in trouble because of bubble screen or rocket screen, or you're playing two deep zone with a blitz. Your middle coverage at 8 to 15 yards, you're either outmanned or they've got usually outmanned in numbers, or the athlete that they've got is better than the athlete you have in coverage. So you still have to get some pressure with four. I know there's a lot going on here, but that's what you asked me what I've been doing, and I'm looking at that. I look at the video of it and go, oh, my gosh, this is closer to 11-6 and 6-11 if you look at this specific category.
Mitch, how important is it with the voice coming in as the offensive coordinator? Does that need to be somebody that Andy Reid is familiar with, or is it time to maybe get somebody that he could eventually become best friends with by generating a new friendship?
Well, you've already seen a change on the offensive staff, mm-hmm. and that offensive staff works collectively all year long anyway. It becomes, too, then there's got to be a rhythm and a groove into game planning and then on game day activation. And then during the week teaching, that's a big part of it that, again, is less sexy that we don't see, because that happens from A, game plan, to C, calling the right play in the right time in a game. So there has to be a rhythm there. Even if you bring in some new blood, you've got to vet that new blood that fits your culture and rhythm of how you do your work week. Now, that doesn't mean you're forfeiting new ideas. In fact, Andy would want new ideas. He's had new ideas. He's changed 200 times probably in his approach in 27 years as a head coach. But you have to have someone who will fit your rhythm of work and fit your rhythm, and this is how we do things. So bring your ingenuity within that shell and framework of how we do business. And I could be somebody new, or it could be somebody that's been around, or somebody that he knows. But he's looking for new and fresh ideas. So don't take my answer as saying, hey, let's stay stale. But you also cannot bring in someone who's going to completely wreck your way of doing business, where you back up instead of move forward.
How much does the quarterback factor into who gets to be the OC?
Oh, yeah, he'll be involved in the discussion. And I did see him the other day a little bit, just to fist pump him. I mean, that dude right now is like a Navy SEAL or Army Special Forces. He wants to be back tomorrow. Like, you just know he's going to be
smoking, firing hot to get back and ready to go. But no, he will be part of that conversation.
Mitch, last time we talked to you, we were talking about what you would think about maybe it being Travis Kelce's last game, and you were about to say something else. You said, fellas, I'll wait for it, and I'll talk to you in 3 weeks and pay the tees off then. Mitch, the time is yours.
Are we at the three-week threshold, or are we still short?
No, we're at the three-week threshold.
This is another one where I've gone in 10-minute intervals, because I would have lost $100 to Mac last year, because I thought Kels would have given up last year. This year, there seems to be a rally. You know, when he gets away from everything and he gets to take his car with the engine light on and go, you know, I better get this fixed and try to get his body right and get his sense of everything, I would have bet $100 on December 31 that he's not coming back. Now I want to hedge that somehow. He loves the game so much. He loves his teammates so much. He loves wearing that uniform so much that even if he says, I'm moving on, it's going to be an incredibly difficult situation for him. And so I think when you back up and you're not dealing with the tyranny of the urgent, meaning morning to afternoon, tonight, which is the NFL season, from the beginning of training camp to the last second of the last game, you get perspective, and it seems like that perspective always kind of is a magnetic pull to pull him back in. So, I don't know, ask me in 10 more minutes, I might think differently, but right now I'm going, wow, I'm looking at this differently than I did on December 31.
Well, Mitch, you enjoy the time off. I know you won't stop working. It sounds like you've been busy, busy, busy. So I'll continue to stay focused in the off season, as my promise to you, and we will talk to you shortly when things develop more and more towards draft.
Here's the deal for all of you. Just to stay focused to you. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Mute Bob and Mac, turn it loose. So there you go.
So he hates us and loves Mac. Yeah, that's just pretty much where it is. Dusty, you pay attention. Bob, shut up. And Mac, go for it.
Thanks, Mitch.
See you, boys.
See you, Mitch.
That's Mitch Holtz. It's brought to you by GEHA, Government Employee Health Association, and also Incorporated, and also brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Coming up next, it's Mac Morey. With one word on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Mac's awesome.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. One word.
First name is Blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor. You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Mid-major Mac.
He's the only one who's allowed to talk, according to Mitch. So.
Exactly right.
Enjoy the segment. We're Dusty and I are going to go over here.
The hell did I do to Mitch?
Stay focused and Bob, shut up.
Bob,
okay.
Shut up.
Mitt and Mac, enjoy yourself.
Mornings with Mac starts Monday, January 12th.
It's Alex Skold's birthday that day, too, by the way.
Big birthday for Alex.
Yeah, January 12th, Alex Gold. He turns 35?
35? Is it 35? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's kind of a big
35.
One.
It's actually
30 is the new 20.
Buy him shots at the trap.
There we go.
Will he do them?
He'll have no choice, and Selma will make them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello, Alex.
Exactly.
Hello, America.
All right.
And Selma's picture from Twin Peaks yesterday was top notch.
Is that where that? I couldn't tell where that was.
You couldn't?
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
Were you sitting next to your fiance?
It was a joke, obviously.
I know.
Audie Crooks, one of the best college basketball players in women's basketball right now. Audie Crooks plays for Iowa State. She's a big girl. She's down there. She uses that girth. She uses that size to create some space, and she does that quite a bit. She's probably the best college basketball player in women's basketball right now, trying to find their final score yesterday.
Because Juju's still out, right, with injury?
Yes, because Juju is still out.
Smith-Schuster?
Well, she does go to USC.
So they lost to Cincinnati. It was on Wednesday. They lost. That was their first loss of the season, 63-71. This is what she had to say about being your best when it matters.
How valuable is that film, and how much can you build, you know, given that we're just in early January?
Yeah, that's huge. You don't want to play your best basketball in January. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a monster in January. You want to be a monster in March. And in order to do that, you need to recognize your flaws. You need to recognize your shortcomings. And if you don't lose, if we would have won today, those rebounds that I missed seem a lot less significant. Those shots that I missed seem a lot less significant. Those turnovers that we had seem a lot less significant. But when you lose, it really just puts everything out there. You have to look in that mirror and recognize what you need to do better. And because we have that early.
Hell yeah.
Oh, March. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Yeah. One word. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. But actually, my one word is Chiefs.
There we go.
I thought it was Andy.
Yeah. Well, could have been. Yeah. But no, Chiefs is my one word for that. Hey, Chiefs, listen to that comment there from Audie Crooks, is her name, you said?
Yes.
And that was. Wow. Love that. Man, like, I'm fired up. I'll go play for her right now. And yeah. She's not even a coach. Like, and she's right. We don't need to be playing great in September. Like, people making judgments in week one of the NFL. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the year. So the Chiefs have been playing great football, but throughout all of that, a lot of mistakes, a lot of less than stellar personnel, coaching and playing wise, is, you know, not been able to be discovered because you're winning. And we've talked about that this week. When you're winning, it covers up everything. This 6-11 thing is a good hard reset for the Chiefs.
My one word would be educated. Onward.
Yeah. Yeah. My one word's coach.
Yeah.
She's a future coach.
A coach, whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
My goodness.
She's got me ready to
you
run.
You want
to
get angry?
Yeah.
816. She plays defense like Luka.
She does need to work on the pick and roll, and yeah, she's got slow feet. We'll see what happens in the WNBA. She's really fun to watch and fun to listen to as well. We'll stick with coaches. Kurt Cignetti, Dan Lanning talking pregame in the press conference yesterday. Kurt Cignetti, Dan Lanning, hey, what's two reasons that your team's good, basically? What's two reasons that you've had success? Cignetti, you can count.
In line of scrimmage, run the ball, stop the run, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, turnover ratio. We're number one in the country. Explosive plays, runs plus 12, passes plus 15 on both sides. Critical situations, third and fourth down, red area, 2 minutes before the half, end of the game. And teams has to be a win. You know, every game, same stuff.
I should have named more. I thought we were just doing two. Ooh. That was two. God dang, coach.
Another word that I'll use, Chiefs, because everything he listed, they were bad at.
Mm.
Seriously, everything that he listed right there, the Chiefs were bad at this year. Play that again.
Dang it, give me 2 seconds.
One, two. Mitch talks you up, and then you're doing this.
I know. Here we go.
In line of scrimmage, run the ball, stop the run, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, turnover ratio.
Yeah.
We're number one in the country. Explosive plays, runs plus 12, passes plus 15 on both sides. Critical situations, third, fourth down, red area. 2 minutes before the half, end of the game, and teams has to be a win. You know, every game.
Did the Chiefs do one of those things?
I would say, why are you in the national championship game, coach? All of this. Andy, why are you 6-11? Same stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything that he mentioned there, the Chiefs failed at this season.
The number that you were looking for is 14.
That was it?
That's the one. Was it?
Did you count them? 14.
Yep. Next.
Cignetti. It was two. It wasn't. We'll stick with the coaching ranks. Jason Witten. Going to go coach tight ends at Oklahoma University. One word on Witten.
Okay. I'm good with that. Yeah. Yeah. Fine. He played the position really good at it, you know. Let's see what he can do. Wasn't much for the broadcast world.
Let's see. Head coach from Oklahoma. Played at Oklahoma, right?
Played at Tennessee.
Tennessee. That's right. Yeah, Tennessee.
Yep.
Traitor.
Who is the tight end that played at Oklahoma with Baker? That's like, they're good friends. They play on opposite teams.
Blake Bell.
Yeah, the Belldozer.
There's a better one than
is
that.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, there is. Yeah, I know. Give me a second.
Can the text line beat Mac? Who's the tight end that Baker?
I'm not going to get it.
Oh, man. Either way.
Ross Travis?
No. Yeah, Jason
Ringing
Witten,
Stool?
Look. Get some guys in that know how to play the game. To Bob's theory, start small, end big.
Gosh, it's going to messed me up now that I can't think of that name. Tyreek Hill on Instagram Live, because at this point, basically, that's what he does. He's an influencer. And he was reading comments, and one was like, hey, man, we want you back on the Chiefs. Here's what he said.
So sweet of you this morning. We'll see what happens in the offseason, maybe.
Well,
that's like horseradish.
Yep.
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
Thanks, text line. You beat Mac.
Mark Andrews.
It's a good one.
It is, buddy. It just has to be said. The one word is no. I am so over that guy. Stop. Nobody wants you back here, bro. I hate when people say, we want you back. No, we don't.
No.
We have no interest in having you back. Because I'll make a blanket statement for the we if they say we want him back. We have got to move forward. Tyreek Hill is part of the past. He's older. It's been a mess. He's coming off an injury. We just don't need Tyreek Hill here in Kansas City anymore. It is time to move past. Stop looking at a name and going, I love that guy. Let's bring him here. No. The ship has sailed with Tyreek Hill. Move on.
Yeah, my one word would be past. It's over, man. Like, it sounds fun, but coming off a gruesome leg injury that we all saw way too many times. If we're not going to bring back Bieniemy and Kafka and all these things to have the run it back, we're not bringing back Tyreek Hill. I say that, and then in June, you know, plus what? His cap hit's got to be atrocious.
Yeah, I don't even know how Miami's going to deal with that contract.
Worth that dollar sign. No. In my opinion.
No, that's why they traded him to begin with, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And now he's older and making more money. Yeah, that makes sense. Matt, we got rid of you in your prime because you wanted too much. Let's bring you back in your past where you're making too much.
Matt, can I give you one word?
Oh, yeah.
And Bob, one word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazon confirmed that AI Michaels, sorry, dyslexia, Al Michaels, will return in 2026 to call Thursday Night Football games, which will be his age 82nd season.
Jeez. Great. Love it. I'm in. I love it. It just makes me feel good. I like the voice. It's just a fit for me.
His name is drawing a blank. College Game Day just had his last year last year.
Oh, Musburger.
Lee Corso?
Or Corso.
Oh, one he's not. Corso. Oh, he's not.
That's where we're headed.
No. I mean, Lee Corso was. No. Al Michaels is very.
Corso wasn't Corso 10 years ago, and they should have probably started that process 10 years ago, well, right?
Yeah, but
Al Michaels is washed.
Okay, Rob.
and the game is over. Wow.
Wow, that was overtime, 42-41. You're like, dude, that was the best game I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, AI from that Michaels. Standpoint, like I understand it a little bit, but it's still like arguably the greatest voice of
For
all
sure.
time.
For
and,
sure.
You know, we don't have the legends in broadcasting anymore, guys, like yeah. we used to, right? Like, take Al Michaels out of the equation. You got Kevin Harlan, who is an effing legend.
Jim Nantz.
An effing legend. Yeah, for whatever reason, for me, Nantz just never has done it for me. Very good. I don't look at him as one of the greatest of all time. I don't know why.
Fair
That's
enough.
Just my opinion, right? You can have yours as well. And I think Ian Eagle is trending towards legendary status because he is so pop culture woven and he knows the world around him. I'm just talking NFL.
Oh,
and
who's the guy that you haven't mentioned yet that we love? Joe Buck.
He's in the Hall of Fame. But there's not many of those guys anymore. We're losing the legendary guys. Like, who did the Chiefs game on Sunday?
I heard of him.
Oh, it was, wasn't it Long?
Well, the other guy.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Like, I had no idea who that guy was.
I just don't want us to be like remembering Al Michaels these last few years and start to.
Yeah, there is that. The overstate is welcome running back or, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah, right. Yeah, I get that. And that's part of the reason why when we talk about Travis Kelce, you're like, well, he can still play, though. You don't want to see a guy that's a, you know, a shell of himself and doing all that kind of stuff. I'm just always going to be biased, you know, for Al Michaels because I do view him as one of those legends. I'll be the last guy to go kicking and screaming, you know, with Al Michaels going out the door.
Fair enough.
To use Bob's favorite phrase on Al Michaels, time to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jim Nantz, though, man. Masters Sunday, TV max volume when the winner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's announced because it's always that some speech, written out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah that's
which you don't like. But I will tell you this to ruin your childhood fantasies. 90% of people that do that job have that final script written out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have like, if they win, what will I say?
Hell yeah.
And it's over here under a pile. And then when it happens, they bring it over and it's like, and Rory's jacket is green.
Yeah, like, you know? Yeah, I'm just more of a natural.
I get that.
I'm not a good scripter.
Kevin Harlan, I'm calling both games.
Yeah, like that. I mean, we were taught by the same professor. You know, like I'm not saying I'm in the same level as cool. Kevin, but we have the same mentor and stuff like that. So Kevin doesn't script his stuff. Kevin could come in here and do this job in no time at all. And he's one of the few play-by-play guys that I know. Joe Buck could do it. Kevin Harlan could do it. Ian Eagle could do it. And I don't know how many other guys that are in play-by-play in professional sports could come in here and do what we could. But those three guys definitely could. I'm not saying I could go do their job, but they could come in here and do our job because that's how talented they are.
Somebody says, I'll welcome back Tyreek Hill for the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Coming up on the other side, we get back into what Nate Taylor told us yesterday about the former wide receiver coach. Plus, is this good for the game of college football? The question we asked. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.